You are listening to The Christian Commute, a commute-length podcast about Christian apologetics, theology, and other matters of Christian interest. Here is your host, Seth Dunn.
It is Monday, November 30th. This is The Christian Commute. I am your host, Seth Dunn, and I'm hoping you had a happy Thanksgiving with plenty of food and plenty of things to be thankful for and plenty of people around you at Thanksgiving dinner to be thankful with. You are not riding with me anywhere. I'm downstairs again in my office. My wife had a doctor's appointment today and she has another one tomorrow. So I am still working from home. Thus, there was no commute into the office today, but it had been a while since I last recorded a show. So I wanted to get one for today. I don't know if I'll do another one tomorrow. I tend not to record when I work from home, but like I said, it had been a while. Tomorrow, it will not have been a while, because I will have uploaded this show, Lord willing, but I do believe I'll go to work, drive there physically, Wednesday and Thursday. Update on my vacation schedule. As I've said before, I have 3 weeks of vacation at my job, and I can't take them all at once because I would fall so far behind. So I'm at the end of the year and I'm trying to use my vacation up. So this Friday and this Monday, because Friday and Monday are the days I don't like to work. Friday and Monday, I took a vacation day. So definitely no Christian commute those days. But hey, I'm not like one of those podcasts that just goes out of season and says, oh, the season's over, I'm not going to have one till January. Nope, I'll have some. But they'll be few and far between because I won't be working. Let's get this short episode. It needs to be short because I can hear my wife screaming at the kids upstairs. She needs backup. And I should probably do something for the dogs. They seem cold. But first, the show for you people. We will begin Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And we're going to deal with Jesus' teaching about divorce, setting out from there. Well, where was he? I remember where they were before. Let me refer back to 9. They're in Capernaum. Remember, they're in Capernaum. So he was teaching about the eye and the hand and cutting them off in chapter 9. Now in chapter 10, beginning the chapter, setting out from there, Capernaum, Jesus went to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan. So he's traveling all around here into the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan River. Crowds gathered to him again as he was accustomed. He once more began to teach them. So Jesus is used to crowds gathering where he goes in great numbers, and he's used to teaching them. This has become his custom. And typically, here come the Pharisees. So the common man, if you will, is gathered around Jesus, and here come the Pharisees, the holiest of the holy, to test him. And some Pharisees came up to Jesus, testing him. Grant, now, I'm going to stop right here. What's their motive? Is their motive to learn from the teacher? No, their motive is not to learn from the teacher. Their motive is to test him to see if he's right according to their standards, to see if he's right according to their standards so that it's okay for him to teach the people. Because if he is not up to their snuff and their standards, he shouldn't be teaching the people in their minds. All right. But this is God's son himself. They should be working to be up to his standards. Now, I want to say this. This is not from the text. This is from me. It's good to listen to a teacher and test his words against the scripture to see if he lives up to a biblical standard. That's good. It's okay to test some dude. It doesn't make you a Pharisee to do it. But this is not some dude. This is Jesus Christ. And some Pharisees came up to Jesus testing him and began questioning him whether it was lawful for a man to divorce his wife. All right. And he answered and said to them, "What did Moses command you?" This would have made them very happy that Jesus referred to Moses. The Pharisees said, I had to stop. My son walked in. I lost my place. "What did Moses command you?" And they said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send his wife away. But Jesus said to them, because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God created them male and female. Here he is, he's referencing Genesis. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no person is to separate. And in the house, the disciples again began questioning him about this. And he said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she herself divorces her husband and marries another man, she is committing adultery. What's the logic there? Because you can't separate the two. There may be a lot of remarriages at your church. That's a problem. Sometimes as a society, again, this is not the Bible, this is my commentary, we see somebody getting remarried as if it's a cause for celebration. Like, oh, they found love again. Like, oh, no, they shouldn't have got divorced the first time. And the reason Jesus says this is adultery is because he says God has joined the two people together. So here's a man and here's a woman, and God has joined them together. And now they get a divorce, and then the woman joins with another man. Why is she committing adultery? Because she is separated from her husband. She's technically, spiritually, still bound to him. They've only been separated by a man, not by God. So divorce is not lawful. You see, here the Pharisees come to separate or to test Jesus according to the law. And he says, well, you know, what's in the law of Moses? What does Moses allow you to do? And you look at Deuteronomy and find that. And he compares that to Genesis. So we're talking about what was given in what we call the civil law now by Moses to the people, really by God through Moses to the people. And Jesus says, this is because you guys had hardness of heart, being the Jews, the whole nation of Israel. And we can read the Old Testament over and over when we find them stiff-necked and hard-hearted. Jesus goes all the way back to Genesis and said, this is how it was from the beginning of creation. So fundamentally, this is how it is, Jesus is saying. God created them male and female. That's a fundamental part of existence. It's a fundamental part of being human, male and female, male or female, I should say. And that's how God created you. Now, I could go on and on about all the gender picking and transgenderism people do today, but that's not what Jesus has in view. But remember, when Jesus was asked about marriage, specifically about divorce, he went back to Genesis to talk about how we were created. And he says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother. Again, this is from Genesis. And the two shall become one flesh. This is a totally new thing, Jesus says. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, no person is to separate. So if somebody comes up to you and says, is divorce lawful? You say, who's doing the separation? Oh, well, man. Man can't separate what God's put together. It is God who put man and woman together. We men are meant to have a wife. It was not good for the man to be alone. And out of Adam came Eve, flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. So here Jesus condemns divorce and goes on further to condemn remarriage as synonymous or equal to adultery. Not an easy thing for people to accept, especially if they've set their life up a certain way. But that's what the Bible says. These are the words of Jesus. And with that, we will move on to the inbox. Now, this came November 2nd, long before, not long before the election, I guess 3 or 4 days before the election. And it's from Rendell in Arkansas. Brother Seth, if you haven't voted yet, please read Pastor Wilson's words on what is at stake in this election. And he refers to an article by Doug Wilson who is a Presbyterian Federal Vision pastor in Moscow, Idaho. What is his church called? Doug Wilson. Oh, it's a Christ Church, Moscow, Idaho. It is Christ Church. It is a Reformed and Evangelical church in Moscow, Idaho, a member of the Communion of Reformed Evangelical Churches. And I do believe it is Presbyterian Reformed, not Reformed Baptist. So way out in Moscow, Idaho, you have Doug Wilson. I'm going to leave that there. I'm just letting you know. A lot of you know who Doug Wilson is already. But I'm just pointing out that's who he means by Pastor Wilson. Read Pastor Wilson's words on what is at stake in this election. And he refers to a blog article by Doug Wilson. And Doug Wilson is a very good writer. I'll throw that in. And Rendell says this: remember, you are not voting for a church pastor, but the leader of this nation. My family has been fighting against the Marxists in this nation my whole life. I understand exactly how these low-life people operate. Just remember that you will soon have six children. If Biden wins, the government will is bolded, take your children from you because of what you believe and teach. Trust me on this. If you don't think this will happen, just look at China. I rest my case. And Rendell gives his the link to Doug Wilson's article, and he says, a concerned brother, Rendell. So Rendell was very concerned about the election. Now, am I to fear now? Because I guess whether Biden won or not, how about this? Biden won. Whether or not it's fair and square is another question. But, okay, Biden won. He's going to be president. So do I sit here and fear that the government's going to take my children away? That was Rendell's concern. Because he's, you know, on this podcast, I've always said, you know, I just can't bring myself to vote for Trump because this is a representative republic and I don't feel that he represents me. And something Rendell says is something I've heard for a long time. You're not voting for a church pastor, but the leader of this nation. That's what he says. And whenever people say this to me, one of the first things that comes to mind is John Calvin's words. And these aren't his exact words, but he's quoted this way sometimes. When God wants to punish people, he gives them wicked rulers. All right, so if somebody says that to me, I kind of clap back with that. And I remember I heard Johnny Hunt say that when Mitt Romney was running. And I remember sitting there thinking, I'm not going to vote for a Mormon. I'm not going to vote for a man who believes he's going to have his own planet one day where he is a god. I'm not going to vote for a man who believes he is a god or has the potential to become a god because the other guy is wicked and liberal. When it comes down to wickedness, Mitt Romney was just as wicked as Barack Obama. Now, one may have had one a pro-life position on abortion and the other one didn't. Mitt Romney, in my opinion, is a faux conservative anyway. But so I got two wicked people. I'm supposed to pick what? The one who, you know, I'm going to have better taxes with? I don't know. So that's why I didn't vote for Romney, because he was a Mormon and believes he was going to be a god. And the reason I didn't vote for Trump is because I think Donald Trump is a jerk. He's a grabber. Remember the P word, grabber. I don't think he respects women. Really and truly, yes, I think he did appoint a very qualified female Supreme Court justice. That's good. Yes, I know he employs women and has employed women in positions of influence in his company. And yes, I know he has two daughters or one. I know he has a daughter. But when I look at his record in marriage and his comments and his pageant owning, this is not a man I see who really and truly respects life and women. He's a liar. I mean, he lies about stuff all the time. He just says stuff to get retweeted. So why would I want to vote for a dishonest, misogynistic liar from New York City? Do you think he's a Republican? Do you think he's conservative? No, he's from dirty old New York City, the same as all the other liberals out there. I know he's not a true conservative. Now, he's a populist, and he's a way better choice than Hillary Clinton was, and I think he was a way better choice than Joe Biden. Do I think he was a good president? Again, I don't like to get political on this show. I think he did do a good job at president, except for all the lying and stuff. I get tired of people attacking him all the time and saying he's racist. I don't think that's true. I think they just act like he's the devil and they act like he's Hitler, and that's certainly not true. But at the end of the day, what really stopped me from voting for him is he surrounded himself with not just wicked people, but false teachers and false prophets, false apostles. When Paula White, who is a wolf, is your spiritual advisor, I cannot get with you and be on your side. Paula White is just pure evil. The evil of the secularists is a secular, worldly evil, and it's not dressed up as anything other than secularism. So when we talk about Marxism, it is a worldly evil that doesn't pretend to be Christian. But when we look at a wolf in sheep's clothing, this Paula White, that's more dangerous. See, Karl Marx is a wolf in wolf's clothing. Paula White is a wolf in sheep's clothing. Now, I don't really believe Donald Trump believes all her garbage and all the garbage of his evangelical advisors, because I don't think Donald Trump's a believer. He's just using people. But I certainly could not vote and did not vote for Donald Trump because of that. And I made that clear. And that was my spiritual conviction. And now Georgia's a blue state, so if you guys want to blame me, if we lost by one here, it's my fault because I didn't vote for him. But I just couldn't do it. But I'm going to tell you this, and I don't know if this is a religious statement that's, you know, for the podcast, perfect for the podcast, or a political statement that's outside the scope of the podcast. But Rendell and everybody else, if my vote in the 2020 election was a vote for keeping my children, if my guy wins, or if Trump wins, I keep my children, or if Biden wins, I lose my children, that's not a democracy I want to live in. I don't want to live under any system of government where the outcome on the vote, or I should say, where keeping my children is dependent on the outcome of the vote. Now, like, depending on my vote, or depending on the outcome of the vote, my tax rate be 15% or 35%. Like, I don't want it to be 35%, but I can live in that system where the person, the other guy got voted in and he raised taxes. Or a country where, depending on who I vote for, you can be, you know, 21, 18, or 15 years old to buy cigarettes or something like that. Or alcohol is banned. They could ban alcohol for all I care. I don't drink. Or a country where they have to make cars that get at least 20 miles to the gallon. So they can't make a car that gets 15 miles to the gallon anymore. Like, I don't like any kind of government regulation except for basic safety type stuff. But if there's a country where I have to vote against Joe Biden, or the government will take my children away, if that's where we are, forget the vote. We're past the tipping point. If that's where we are, come to my house, people who want to take my children, and I will shoot you. I always say the government cannot have my guns, but I will gladly give them my bullets if they come to try to get me. So, Rendell, I don't believe under the Biden administration that the government is going to come take my children away. I'm just trying to imagine, like, say, the moderate liberals that I know, like my friend Joe Beauchears or my brother. And I called Joe Beauchears or my brother and said, the government's taking my children away. I have to think that they would, like, take up arms with me, because that's wrong. I don't want to think of the Democrats as the super extreme AOC, that Cortez woman, or Bernie Sanders, who's technically an independent. Yeah, socialism is taking a hold of the left like it hasn't before, and Marxism is on the rise in this country. The Black Lives Matter movement is Marxism, and you know they've got it painted on NBA courts. I can see the Marxism out there. But Rendell, I just don't believe that we're in the place yet where the government's going to take away my children. And this is what you said, Rendell. If Biden wins, the government will take my children away. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, no, they won't. You know, I always say, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. What is it? 2020? You know, test me around if in November of 2024, if I still have my children, if the government in 4 years has taken them away. But not only do I not believe that will happen, trust me, I believe Marxism is evil, and I know it's on the rise, and I know it's infiltrating the church. I know that, the visible church. I know that. But it's I don't think it's infiltrating Paula White's church. That's on the other end. That's the prosperity gospel. It's in the social justice churches. But if that's where I am, I'm in big trouble. If I'll just repeat myself, if keeping my children and other people for any reason, if anybody, even a non-Christian for some reason, you know, if keeping my children is dependent on the outcome of the vote, then I don't want to vote in the system. Then it's a wicked, bad system, and there's a problem, and we need to get rid of it. Listen, if I really believe that, I'd rebel now. You know, I would rebel now if I believe that. If I believe that the government would start taking away people's children here in the United States under our constitutional republic, I would absolutely rebel. But that's not where we are, in my estimate. If your estimate is right, Rendell, then I don't really care about the vote. I don't want to vote in that system. So I don't want to play in that game because I don't believe in the outcome either way. And when it comes down to this, if I'm going to do something out of a spiritual conviction, it's never going to be, well, I'm going to compromise on my spiritual convictions because of some other perceived benefit. And by the way, it'd be a perceived benefit. I don't know the future. I don't know what's going to happen. Like in 2016, I didn't know that Donald Trump would appoint three constitutional, what we call a strict constructionist, not necessarily conservative, but strict constructionist Supreme Court justices. I didn't know he would do this. I think he did a pretty good job on the three he appointed. But if you want to go back further to when we were voting for George Bush, we thought John Roberts was conservative, but hey, look at him now. He's turned out to be one of the worst liberals. He's turned out to be a tipping point liberal. So we don't know what's going to happen in the future. And this is a theological statement. We're not omniscient. We don't know everything there is to know now. And we're not omniscient of the future. We don't know everything that there is going to be then. So I'm definitely not going to take a spiritual compromise because I think it will result in XYZ. You know, if I do this, XYZ is a 90% chance of happening. If I take this spiritual compromise, XYZ has 90%. I'm not banking on the 90 or the 10. I'm banking on I am not going to compromise spiritually, period. And quite frankly, I think if a lot of Christians were like that, we wouldn't get candidates like we get now, who are disgusting people on both sides. Now, as far as Doug Wilson, I'll just make this general commentary, not a commentary on his article itself, but Doug Wilson is not the place I go for advice. The man is a federal vision theonomistic guy roped in with Jeff Durbin. Would I rather live in a totalitarian regime ruled by Doug Wilson or ruled by Barack Obama? Doug Wilson, 100%. But listen, Doug Wilson, I'll say it, is as good as he is with his words and as insightful as he is, there's something off with that guy, and he's fringe in a bad way, in my opinion. So of all people who are going to sway me, it's not going to be him. Now, all that commentary wasn't a condemnation for you who voted for Trump. I imagine most of you did. And I understand why. I'm just telling you why I couldn't do it and why I didn't do it. I've lived through 8 years of Barack Obama, and I survived. I still have a few dollars in the bank and a place to live. Wasn't good. I can tell you from the standpoint of the economy and just jobs and success, things have been better under Trump in my life. And I would rather, you know, if I had to, you know, flip a coin and it was going to land on Trump or Biden, I would rather it land on Trump. But I'm not going to force the coin in either direction because I don't like either side. I care about different things, I guess. And I don't like where we are now. That's not to say I don't appreciate this country. Rendell's generation, either the people in Rendell's generation or their fathers fought to save it from Nazis. I can say this, I miss the Cold War. Because in Cold War times, you knew who the enemy was. And now it seems like people with communist ideas are ruling Seattle and Oregon. It's sad. Things didn't get better for us politically when Russia was freed from communism. And if you think China wants a bunch of unrest here, they want us not to have unrest because we buy their stuff. So, Rendell, thanks for writing in. I can tell your concerns genuine, but you know, I just disagree with you there. Now, normally I would do a show topic here, and I had one planned, but it seems like all hell is breaking loose upstairs. Whoa! I don't know if you guys can hear the commotion directly above me, but my wife probably needs me to tag in. So that's what I'll do. Thanks for listening to The Christian Commute. Lord willing, I'll be back with you again sometime in the future. Lord knows when. As always, God bless. And as always, remember, Christianity is not about getting saved. It's about being saved.
Thanks for listening to The Christian Commute. Please send your questions about Christian apologetics and theology to SethDunn88@gmail.com. If you are not a Christian, please remember that you can be reconciled to God through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Repent of your sins now and accept Jesus as Lord. God bless.